cycling friend Lucky and your wife for the first time. It's great to have you here with us. God bless you. Father, we just thank you for your grace. That, Lord, that on the cross that you paid the price that we can be healed, and you're a gracious and compassionate God, and we pray for those who are sick, especially Wynn, that, Lord, will you intervene in her life and those that are sick, and, Lord, will you bring the outworking of a physical healing in their bodies. Lord, we know that we've been healed from sin, but, Lord, sometimes in our bodies we need temporarily to be healed from sickness, and I pray for that now in the name of Jesus. And then, too, Lord, as we approach your word, thank you for the highest authority of your word. And, Lord, I ask that as the word is preached today, that our hearts would be receptive, that our minds would be opened, and that there be transformation. And that, Lord, as the word comes and we take it and we embed it in our hearts, that something of the reality of what you've intended for us will become a truth for every one of us. So, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. You overcame the devil with it, but, Lord, you also establish us and make us wise through your word. So bless us as we approach your word. Talk to us, Holy Spirit. Open up our lives to the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in life, we got to have a worldview and understand what's happening around us. And so often we get perplexed by when we look at the world and we look what's happening and we see the trauma and we see the things that are breaking down around us in our personal lives. But in the nations, we look to our neighbor, Zimbabwe, and continue to pray for Zimbabwe. God wants to bring breakthrough into that nation. But a very important thing in life, when we're going through life, is this aspect of confidence. That we got to have confidence in what's happening. And I went to a very interesting talk the other day talking about the economies of the world, and this economist was actually talking about the USA. And he was just saying, in spite of what you might think about what's happening in the politics there, what's happening in America, there are two things that are taking place. Is people are becoming confident in their nation, and they've been confident in their nation, then they're starting to have confidence in their economy, and all of a sudden things are starting to boom. And I think Jesus challenged us in the same thing. He challenged his disciples because behind confidence is a belief system and believing that things will work out and things are going to happen. And Jesus challenged men and women about their unbelief. And so often, we've got to be watch out for this thing of unbelief. And our belief system, our confidence, has got to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot look to this world and the ways of this world to have confidence. And the more and more you have confidence in the Lord, you're going to find a strength to live life. And, you know, life has its ups and downs. There are things that happen to all of us. There are trials. There are temptations. If you've never been through a trial and you've never been through a temptation, it's coming. It's coming. Because God wants you to learn to trust in Him and allow Him to be Lord in through your circumstances. So this is the incredible thing that we have. We have an opportunity to have confidence. And I want to challenge us today is that we mustn't have confidence in self. That is the worst thing to have confidence in. We've got to have confidence in who we are in Christ and confidence in our Lord, because that is the way the Lord wants us to grow. And, you know, especially I preached last week a little bit about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and it's about the gathering of the saints. But as the day is approaching, that's the day that the Lord is coming back to fetch his people. Do you know, we're in a season, we're in a period of the world where there is much false doctrine. There are many things that can lead you astray, and we got to get back to the Lord. You know, the end time scripture says that many of even the elect will fall away at the last. And I trust that's none of us. I really do. But you know what? If we do not have our focus and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the evil one can deceive us and we can fall away like that. It's that quick the distraction actually comes. You think you're in the right place, but you actually in the wrong place. And that's why we come to encourage you today, and that's why I think it's so pertinent, this message over this next season where the Lord is encouraging us to abide in Him is so, so important. And today I really want to deal with this topic and go a bit further in this topic today, and I want to deal with the heading or the theme, "Abide in Me and you shall find rest for your souls." And again, the text of today, and we did it last week, but we're going to expand upon it today, is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and then from John chapter 15, verse 4. And if you'd look in your Bibles, I think it's always good to have your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or if you've got a physical Bible. I do encourage you, just by the way, to have a physical Bible. I know technology is great and wonderful, and I've got all of my Bibles also on my phone, but there's something of taking the written word and reading the written word. And I want to encourage you, get your Bibles out, try and get that place next to your bed, get your Bible there that it can be a reference point, and I'm trust that you're actually reading the word of God, that God can encourage you through it. So the scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then from John chapter 15, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And here we see in the scripture Jesus talking to his disciples and talking to us today. He gives us this invitation, and we've dealt with this issue of coming to him. But there are two instances here where he promises us, if you come to me, I will give you rest. And he says it twice in this portion of scripture. He says, I'll give you rest, and I'll also give you rest for your souls. And the first rest that I want to encourage you with is something of this pardon that is actually given to us. This aspect of taking away the sin. And this rest that he gives us is an aspect of our hearts and our souls. He doesn't say in the flesh that there would be this rest, because, you know, as I said earlier, there will be trials and there will be temptations. There will be ups and downs. And it doesn't mean that you're going to go through life and every fear is going to be dealt with and you don't have to deal with it, that all your needs are going to be met. Yes, God does meet all our needs and every desire is going to be filled. You're going to have to walk through those things. But the higher ground that we need to find out, that God wants our hearts and our souls to be in a place of rest to deal with those things. You know, we went through a time, I can't believe it's 11 years ago, my dad passed on to be with the Lord. And we were driving, my mom and my sister, and we prayed. And God's peace came. It was tangible, it was real, it was powerful. And it resonated in our hearts. And something transpired in our hearts that we were able to overcome in that time, even though the tears were flowing down our faces, even though our circumstances hadn't changed, we had this inner strength of God's peace to deal with it. And I'm telling you now, God has called us to a place of rest in Him and to find that rest. You cannot be in a frenzy. You cannot be in a turmoil. You cannot be running from left to right. You have to operate out of this place of rest that He's given us. It talks about a Sabbath day rest in the book of Hebrews. And I just believe many of us, and including myself, because we don't come to the Lord and find His rest and dwell there to actually get that peace and to get that knowing that He's in control, we run with frenzy. We run with activity, and we get caught up in our own doings. God doesn't want us to be there. Jesus never provided for any other place. He wants us to be in this place of rest with Him. So this first invitation of rest is a pardon from sin, this forgiveness. And, you know, sin is a powerful thing. Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross and died for us if it wasn't powerful and we could overcome it and we could deal with it. He went and He died for it and he brought it to naught, its power and its outworking in our lives. And the wonderful portion of Scripture in 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, there's been a thread today through the word that Franco brought, that Psalm 51 came through one of the songs today, this thing of our pardon and our sin and our forgiveness. And I want you to know, brother and sister in Christ, you need the forgiveness of your sins. If you have not been set free and understand that, as much as you love the Lord Jesus and you're still walking in the burden and the pain of your sin, you are not free. You need to receive your forgiveness, what Jesus has done on the cross for you. Sin will burden you. Sin will pull you down. And yes, there is the initial sin that God cancels. There's a remission of our sins. But you know, as Christians, we still have the ability to sin. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And we need to regularly to examine our hearts and say, Lord, where have I fallen? Where have I missed the mark? Not with condemnation, and run back to the Lord and receive your forgiveness. We all blurt out those words. We all do things that we shouldn't be doing. But God has given us a way out to come before Him, and He can forgive us. But we've got to receive that. But you know, we are good to do that. But when that portion of Scripture actually says here that we receive the cleansing from all unrighteousness, another translation says the purification, that's where we get unstuck. That's when the residue of unrighteousness that's in our lives begins to manifest, and we linger and we hold on to that things, and it becomes a festering sore in our lives. We haven't got to a place that we've been cleansed. Now, I told you the saga. I've had the problem with my pool over this rainy season. It went green, and I couldn't get it right, and I've been throwing all the chemicals in the world into the thing and pushing all the chlorine in, and it's... But you know what? God has taught me a lesson in this thing of this cleansing and this purification. As I've been working with the Lord in this thing, I've been working with the filtration system. And I've been working hard on that. I've extended the hours of the filtration system and get the water going through and cleansing the sand and backwashing and rinsing and getting it clean. And then also putting fresh water into the pool. And you know what? I'm nearly there. It's a little bit murky, but I'm getting there. That's for every one of our lives. When Christ comes into our lives, immediately we are the righteousness of God, immediately. But the residue of our sin and the unrighteousness is still there, unfortunately. This is my perspective. And God has got to do a cleansing work in all our lives. And this is a process of your life. God accepts you immediately you come to Him. He holds nothing against you. But that cleansing process, that filtration process, takes a lifetime. You know, how does it work? And I talk from experience in this thing. Things that we have erred in and we have wronged and we've been forgiven of. How do we sort those things out? The Holy Spirit works with us. And all of a sudden, I like in my own life... All of a sudden, this thought comes, and that image of what actually happened there in my past, I know what I've got to do with that now. I've got to repent. I've got to change, say, sorry, Lord, I did that in error. And all of a sudden, the cleansing comes, and that thing's broken. And I'm telling you, many of us don't work with the Holy Spirit when it comes to this. And that thing, the devil knows those things. And if you do not deal with those things, the devil will unearth that and have a right in your life and will start to work his darkness into your life. And I want to encourage you, this cleansing process is an incredible process because it's the blood of Jesus that comes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Do you know, no handy andy, no detergent will actually cleanse you from this. No chlorine will do it. But the blood of Jesus takes it and makes you clean, white as snow. And I want to tell you, we all got to go through that process. And this is part of that invitation to rest. Work together with God, the Holy Spirit, and receive this wonderful invitation of being forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And then out of that comes this acceptance that God accepts you and you can rest in His love. But the second invitation that comes in this portion of Scripture, the rest for your souls, is not the initial rest, but it's the deeper, personal, appropriated rest of an intimate personal relationship as you abide in Christ. You see, now Jesus says to us, come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know what? The Lord puts us back in school. This year, it's 40 years since I've matriculated. Can you believe it? Ek word bietjie oud. And the other day, we had an opportunity to go. We grew up in Germiston, and I went to Germiston High, and my son was doing some swimming at Double Swimming Pool, and I had a drive, and we drove to the old high school. And I said to Andrew, you know, it's 40 years since I was here, but it was the other day that this actually happened. But you know, I've never left school because the reality, we're in the school of learning Christ. And this thing of being yoked to the Lord and learning of Him, we must still continue to be scholars of Him. We've got so much more to learn. We must yield ourselves to His training, and we must submit our will to Him, and then let our lives be one with Him, and we will find this wonder of what God has for us. See, this abiding rest, the next point, is what God has for you. He wants you to rest in Christ. He doesn't want you to rest any other place apart from Him. He wants you to rest in Him. The things of the world will not add that rest. Only He can give you that rest that you can enjoy. I heard a story the other day about a young girl, and she was asked to describe herself, and she says, I'm in torment. That is not rest. And you know, there are so many people out there today, and even in the church, that are tormented. Now, that is demonic authority that is actually working that, but it's also in their lives have not found this rest. You know, the education systems of the world teach us to get a qualification and to go and study further, and those things are good, but they don't teach us this thing of finding rest in God. And I want to say it's a secret that the church hasn't found. It's amazing is that when I look at the church today, and I'm not being critical, I see a frenzy. I see a desire to get busy, a desire to have a program, a desire to fill our lives, because I think we're in the age of this technology, and if we're not busy, there's something wrong. And where is that time where we can just sit and be peaceful? I have a problem because I like to be busy. You know, I find it difficult at times to just sit and be quiet. You know, when I see something around the house, I've got to get there and I've got to go and fix it and paint it and do all those type of things. But we've got to find this rest in our God, this abiding rest that He has for us. So what is the pathway to this abiding rest? And I really do believe it's a longer and deeper, closer fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's got to be cultivated. You know, when you put a seed in the ground and we've been, the incorruptible seed has been put inside of us, it's got to be watered, it's got to be nurtured. You know, Noel, you're a gardener, and you've got to look after the thing. You've got to water it, you've got to ensure there's a sunshine, it's in the right position. And as you nurture that, that thing begins to grow. And we know when the roots go deep, and then the stalk can grow, and the leaves can grow, and the fruit can actually come. That's our relationship with our Lord. And there's no easy way to this thing. It's got to take, and it's called T-I-M-E, time with God. You know, God's given us 24 hours, and thank you for giving to God your tithe, which is 10%. But what about your time? How much time do you give to Him? And if you had to be looking at your 24 hours and work out 2.4 hours a day that you've got to give to Him, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, He demands that. Give our time to Him. And he's not an ogre, and He's not controlling. But that's essence, is if we can give our time. And that's why it says pray continually, that you don't do a clock watcher, you're actually spending time with Him. And the secret of that is found in this closer fellowship. You know, when I first became a believer, I became born again, the joy of the Lord was incredible. But I must say, over the years that I've been walking with the Lord, it's this deeper, intimate relationship, walking with the Lord with everything, taking everything to the Lord in prayer. I know you've heard that many times. That is not cliche. That is reality. when you talk to the Lord about all things, and you know, things come across our path, and you know, you can start the day and you can pray, Lord, bless the day and give me wisdom. But actually, when the moment takes place, that's when Jesus must be real. Now, I don't know how you communicate with God. Do you hear his voice? I don't know. Do you hear his still more voice? Do you take a pad and do you write down his response? God talks, and we need to be hearing in that time. And sometimes you, can I say, maybe in the workplace, you get a boss that shouts at you because of something, and you get all twisted and uptight about the thing, and you don't know how to handle things. Can I give you a suggestion? Head for the loo. No one can stop you going to the loo. Get there, lock you, get your Bible out, and pray. Lord, what do I do? How do I handle this thing? And you know, God will give you the response. Simply, he might say, forgive your boss. It's that simple. We forget even to do those things. This is this intimacy of this relationship and this maturity that he wants, that we start to find rest. Because you see, the enemy will come to rob you of your rest. And you've got to fight for it and stay in that place. So, again, how do we get to this path of abiding rest? And I want to say, firstly, it comes through an entire surrender to him. This is not much preached in the life of the church anymore, is that when Jesus said, give up your life and you'll find your life, you've got to give up everything to him. And this entire surrender, you will never find the promise that God has got for you until you totally surrender. Can I even share in the life of Church on the Way? And we thank God this year will be 14 years that the planting of the Lord has taken place here, and we rejoice in that. But a few years ago, I was walking into the entrance hall here, and I just sensed the Lord say to me, give me back the ownership of my church. And you know, I haven't usurped that in any way, but you know, you get into the mold of things and you run with things. And I said, Lord, I haven't really taken ownership, but I'm actually going to do that transaction. And I'm going to hand back ownership in every single way. It is liberating because you do not have to be in control and sort it out. Some of you need to hand your lives back, your ownership of your lives back to God. You know, you confess him as Lord, but is he taking ownership of your life? Your families, your children, your businesses, your ventures, everything that you do, give him the ownership. That's what he wants. You don't actually have the capacity to control it. You know that. We think we do, but we're not that bright and we're not that clever because we can't always see the big picture and we can't change men's hearts. We can't even change our hearts. Am I right? God's got to do that in our own hearts and soften us. So this thing of entire surrender, of handing back everything to him, is such a place of victory when we allow ourselves to give up everything and give our whole life to him, that he can rule and reign in our lives. You see, this is taking his yoke upon us. And when we submit to him, we learn from him, we abide in him, and we only do what he tells us to do. And out of this, then we get to this purpose. Once we've surrendered and find this rest, how can we please the Lord? How can we please him? And we don't only please him in worship. We please him in everything that we do, in the words we say, in our conduct, in every aspect of our lives. You know, and we all have ups and downs, but let's endeavor to actually please him. See, now the next point here, the yoke of Jesus. What is this? And I think so often this yoke of Jesus is really misunderstood. Many of us get to the place that we miss the mark and we try and attain a holy life so we can actually carry the yoke of Jesus. I don't want to say to you today, give up. Don't try and live a holy life. Give up. Give up the yoke that you put on yourself and be yoke to Jesus. Let him put his yoke upon you. Because the Lord says to us, his yoke is easy. In and when his yoke is upon you, you will find rest. And, you know, it's not so easy to put another man's yoke on. But when you give up everything and you allow the Lord to put his yoke, and what is a yoke? When we see two oxen, put on that harness over them, that normally a piece of wood, and when it holds you together, you've got to walk in step, and you've got to walk in line, and the stronger one actually leads you, and that's the Lord actually leading us. And when we learn to be yoked together with Him, we start to find this wonderful place of obeying Him. Now, obedience is very important because that becomes a place where we find God's liberty and we find His rest. And we learn to obey Him. It is so easy because Jesus says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble in heart." His gentleness will show you the way. He will guide you like a mother will take a child by the hand and lead the child. He will lead you. And when He leads you, you will walk into the fullness that He has for you. You know, God has got a plan for you. You know, we're seeing the scriptures that we've all been predestined. The Bible calls us the elect. That means that we've been elected. So we are very, very special in God. And His plan, if He had a plan for Jesus, He's got a plan for you. But He's got a plan for you in Christ. And I want you to be able to fulfill that, each and every one of you. But this important thing of finding and yielding to His yoke is a very important thing, is that, again, I give up these 2 points that I think that has sometimes been missed by the church, is this aspect of consecration and faith. So no longer do we also give up everything to Jesus, but we also receive all from Jesus by faith. And when we surrender to Him, we can obey Him and we can trust Him. It's simple. It's simple. You know, if you want to see how to walk with Jesus, get around some children and go and play with some children again and see how trusting they are. And when they play with you and they laugh and they giggle and they're free. I think sometimes we get encumbered in the world by wrong thinking, wrong speaking, and we've been trained by the world. We've been trained by the schooling system. We're trained by our culture. We're trained by the systems of the world. And Jesus always repointed back to the children. And that simplicity, but that depth of faith, of giving everything, of walking with you, Lord, you see, God wants us to walk in that fullness. So practically, how do we go forward in being in this place where we will abide in Him and find rest for our souls? I want to say you've got to watch out for little faith and doubt. And doubt is and little faith are real things in all of our lives. The early disciples, and even Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, the Lord called him to come and walk on the water. And then you know when Peter fell in the water and he cried out to the Lord to save him. And in verse 31 it says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. And he said to him, "You have so little faith," Jesus says, "why did you doubt me?" And this call to walk in the rest of God is Jesus actually calling to us to walk on water with Him. And it's not just a physical thing, but it's a supernatural thing of walking in the Spirit. But you can fail to do that when you doubt Him. Not doubt your circumstances, doubt Him. And what is doubting? Doubting actually is when you are double-minded, when the pathways in your mind has two standings, and you waver, you don't know which way to go. And that's where, again, we get back to this confidence that you're certain on the right path, one path, and we've got to stay on that one path. Then doubt and unbelief will not arise, but your faith will be rooted in Him. You see, doubt is the precursor to little faith. And I want to encourage you, God wants us to have great faith. There's a measure of faith, and it's a faith in Him. Again, that faith is like a child trusting their parents. It's that simple. Lord, You are in control, and I trust You implicitly, and I obey You implicitly. You know, some of us deal with very complex things and have to deal with difficult people and difficult things. I challenge you to walk in simple faith as a child in those circumstances and trust God in those things. Don't try and be too clever and plan your way out of the thing. Just put your trust in the Lord. And I promise you, God is able. And God is more than willing to actually intervene in those things and watch. You know, we went on Thursday night, Ian McKellar was preaching at Cornerstone, and we've always got this premise that God comes in at 1 minute before 12. And Ian just said with us, he says, "No, I don't believe that's right." He says, "God is always late." God is always late. So when you think there's no more opportunities, God has forgotten me, then God comes in. It happened with Lazarus. 4 days, he was dead in the tomb. And Jesus says, it wasn't my time. And then he went and he raised him from the dead. Never give up on the Lord. Learn his ways and he will come through for you, even if it's 10 past 12. God will come through for you in a wonderful, wonderful way. Norm, I don't like to use people, but Norman and the passing of death, there was a great difficulty in finances. And I just heard the testimony from Norman on Wednesday night. God has super abundantly blessed him with work and provision. But it's been a process. But well done, Norm, for trusting God and see how it actually come through for you. Let's not doubt him. Let's not be of little faith. So how do we get this into a daily application? How do we get this that it's actually birthed in our lives? And I don't want to apologize, but I hope you don't mind. I've been sending you WhatsApp every single day for 5 days this week. Has it been a burden? I've tried to remind you to abide in him, because it's a secret of life. And you know, this is what I wanted to say to you, is that if you're not thinking on it, you're not going to ponder on it. And it's not going to be birthed in your heart and become an absolute reality. You've got to take this thing, see it, what God is actually saying to us. Let it appropriate it in your life. You know, there's an accounting term. The profit and loss account used to be called the appropriation account. The appropriation account is when you take hold of it and it's yours. And that's what we've got to do. And you know, appropriation is actually profit to you. It's credited to your account. And we need to appropriate these promises that Jesus has given us, that you'll find rest for your souls. And as you say, okay, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. Not someone else. It's mine. This is a promise to me. And you take hold of this thing and you say, okay, it's mine. It belongs to me. And then in your inner self, what actually happens, you assimilate it. It becomes something of who you understand, and you take it. Okay, it's mine. That acceptance that starts to take place transforms your thinking, and it becomes a reality. That's why the birthing of God's word in our hearts and our minds is so important. When we take hold of what the Lord has actually said to us, it becomes a reality. And this thing mustn't be far off. This must become a reality in every one of our lives. The Lord wants us to experience his rest. We need to have and convert that time that we've pondered on this thing and meditated on it and taken hold of it, that the way we speak starts to change. I don't want to get onto the topic of speaking, but you've got to be careful about the words you speak, because you can negate and speak like the Lord said, you doubted me. You speak the wrong things. Jesus says you'll know a tree by its fruit, not only good and evil, but you'll know what's in their hearts and what they're holding on to. And yes, it's not name it and claim it, but it is speaking the right confession. And if Jesus has promised rest to us, you need to be taking upon yourself and say, no, this is mine. I'm walking in this. And we need to be saying, I am abiding in him. And Lord, I do take your yoke upon me, and I'm learning from you. And I do find rest for my soul. You see, when this becomes a reality, you start to grow into the maturity of Christ. And you know, my heart and the elders' hearts for all of you is that you're growing to maturity, and you'll find everything that the Lord Jesus has for you. These are things that are not meant to be far away from you. They need to be a living reality in your life. And yes, you're going to go through difficulties, but may you find rest through this whole outworking what Jesus promised you. Be yoked to him. Abide in him. Find his peace that passes all understanding. Know his grace. Know the power and the strength that he's given you by his Holy Spirit. The courage to deal with every struggle. The blessing of every trial and every cross that you need to carry. You know, when difficulties do come your way, don't say, is there something wrong? See a God that is with you in and through those things and overcome. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross, but that's not the end. He was buried and was resurrected to life. He overcame the cross. And same with you and I. When we face these things in life, we need to be overcomers. And then we will find the joy of this eternal life that God has given to us. A good friend of ours, Dieter Uken, who was in this church, preached that man with a musical instrument, part of the church in Secunda. He diagnosed with cancer and had colon cancer, and it's actually come up with a tumor in his lower back. And we saw him at the Glenwood 2 weeks ago. And he can't move. He's immobile. This is a trial that he's going through. And he's just saying to me, Mark, in this, I have the joy of the Lord. You know, we need to grow. That's maturity in these things. I don't mean God intends us to get sick and with disease like it, but in that, we've got to find the rest for our souls and this joy that the Lord has for you. Again, I say to you, is this rest is for you. This yoke that he's offering you today, that he's lowly, that he's humble in heart, is for every one of you. And I encourage you, everyone here today, brothers and sisters, the saints of God, the children of God, find this promise of abide in him and be yoked to him, and you shall find rest for your souls. I want us to break bread together as we contemplate what the Lord has actually done in our lives today. And to do this personally, you know, there's something that maybe you today are not at rest, and there's got to be a transaction with heaven today. And you've got to bring your place to that place of consecration, that entire surrender. Give up your yoke today as we break bread. And take the Lord's yoke upon you today. Yes, you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior, but take his yoke upon you and walk into this deeper, intimate relationship with him and see, is it true? The Israelites never entered the promised land. Why? They wandered because of unbelief, doubting, even little faith. May we enter into the promised land, which is Christ, every single one of us. You know, I don't want any of you to get home one day and you stand before the Lord and he says, look what I provided for you and look what you walked in. Don't get there. The invitation today is to be yoked together with him and find this rest that he's given you and find this intimacy. Find this intimacy with him. Now, we were cycling yesterday. Mark and I broke away on the group. And Mark made an incredible statement. He said, Mark, I just want to see the Lord. And that's all of us. We will see him on the day that we pass from this life to the next. But you can be with him now and he can be with you. We don't necessarily have to see him with our physical eyes, but you can know him. Much of the church does not know him. They do not know him. And my passion is, our vision is that you will know our Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can rob you of that. No thief can come into your house. They can take your stuff. They can even hurt your body. They can even put you in hospital. They can even maybe kill you. But they can never take away your knowing of the Lord Jesus. And I encourage every one of you, may you be known and may we be known as a church that knows their Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. So I read from Matthew chapter 26 and the night before Jesus was betrayed and the Last Supper. And he went to the cross for you and I. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to come to the tables to share. and I'm going to ask you to take of the elements, and then we're going to do it together. And then once we take it together, I'm asking us to contemplate what God has actually said to us today, and we're going to do a little bit of business with Him this morning. Father, we thank You for the breaking of bread, that we can remember, Lord, what You have done for us. But Lord, it's also a place where we can do business with You. We can allow our lives to be surrendered again to You. And if we are in error, we can come before You, not with condemnation, but to come to a place of changing and repenting. And I ask that for every one of us here this morning. Lord, we all miss the mark. We all come off the path. And Lord, if we're off the path at this point in time, may this be a time to come back to You and to truly find what it is to surrender all to You and be yoked together with You and find that place of abiding in You. Lord, I pray Your presence would be real as we share these elements and consider You. May this be a time of miracles. May this be a time of healing our hearts and our minds. May this be a time of opening up everything that You have destined for us. I ask specifically, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to individuals today where You want to reveal things to them, the depths of Your calling, the depths of Your nurturing, of Your love. I ask that may that be very real to every individual here today, in Jesus' name. So I ask You in the name of Jesus, come to the table, take of the elements, go back to your seats, and then we will share together the elements. Thank you. Can we start to do that, please? The tables are here and at the back. Help us to obey You. Help us to hear Your voice and to do everything according to Your will and Your way. Lord, we belong to You. We are Yours. We are not our own anymore. Our yoke is Your yoke, and we want to learn from You. And I ask, Lord, that every one of us will enter in to the rest of our souls, that we can serve You and please You in all that You've called us to do. So, Father, I commit Your people to You. May they be pleasing to You in every way. Not only this morning, but the rest of the day, and as they live out life, the normal existence of daily functions and work. May every one of Your children here, Lord, please You in every way. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, to please our God and to glorify Him in all that we do now. In Jesus' name. Go in peace, go in His love, and go in His rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. There's a leaders' meeting afterwards. And those that are here for the first time, please come and join us for a lovely cappuccino. And the rest of us, come and fellowship. We love to share some time with you. Amen. Thank you, worship team.